Welcome to the Digital Health Transformers podcast series. In this podcast, we explore the dynamic world of healthcare innovation, one conversation at a time. I'm your host, Nicole Guevara, and today we have an inspiring guest at the forefront of transforming the healthcare landscape. We are excited to welcome our guest today's episode, Joshua Liu. Joshua is the co-founder and CEO of Seamless MD. A visionary in guise, Joshua started his career as a physician and gradually delved into digitizing patient care journeys. As a strong advocate for digital health and innovations, he has worked as a chair of the Canadian Medical Association Joule Innovation Council and is currently as a part of the Business Intelligence and Data Analytics Committee for Sina Health Foundation. During his physician training, he has extensively worked on the hospital readmissions at UHNS, Center for Innovation in Complex Care. He also advocates for STEM promotions among youths. His work and vision are recognized across Canada. He received honors such as the Digital Health Canada's Digital Health Executive of the Year, Healthcare Innovations 40 Under 40, Forbes 30 Under 30 in Science and Healthcare, and more. His company, Seamless MD, a digital patient engagement platform, aims to reduce hospital readmissions, elevate patient experience, and improve care outcomes. Join us as in this discussion with Joshua as we delve into his journey and explore more about RPM 2.0. Thank you so much for joining us today, Josh.
Thanks, Nicole, for having me. I'm excited to chat with you today.
Wonderful. So we are going to start with your personal and professional story. Josh, you've transitioned from being a physician to a digital health entrepreneur. Can you share with us what inspired you to switch from a caregiver to an entrepreneur?
So when I did medical school a while back, I didn't really know what I wanted to do. I think a lot of folks enter medical school knowing what type of physician they want to be. I honestly was a little bit lost. I did, though, have some amazing mentors that got me more excited about actually non-clinical things. So I spent time doing research on quality and patient safety, and I specifically did work on preventing readmissions. And I got really excited about the idea of using technology to better engage and monitor patients to prevent a problem such as a readmission. And long story short, in my last year of med school, I met a couple of brilliant engineers. And we said, hey, why don't we go and build something to support patients and tackle problems like readmissions? And we started this technology company called Seamless MD. And then I graduated, I got into residency, but I actually never started it because we decided to go full time on the company. And it's been my full time gig ever since for about 11 years now and been quite the adventure.
That's great to hear. What sort of challenges did you encounter in your career transition?
Yeah, well, so we started this company back in December 2012. So this is, 11, 12 years ago. So now digital health is incredibly, let's call it popular or appreciated. But back then, digital health was still very nascent. So, in 2012, only 50% of patients even had a smartphone, right? So in North America now, it's north of 90% have access to smartphones and the internet. It was half, but basically half of that back then. And so a lot of folks were skeptical around technology, even more so to engage patients. Very few health systems were ready to try something like what we do. We had no track record, right? Yeah, I had some clinical training, but we were young, naive, no real experience building a technology company. And so on the one hand, I think our lack of experience and the early market had a lot of barriers to entry. On the positive side, because we were naive, even though we kept running into roadblocks, we had the youthful enthusiasm and resilience to just keep going anyways. I think, frankly, if I was more experienced, I may have given up sooner. I think that youthful naivete actually helped us out.
Well, I'm glad you didn't give up because reading more and more about Seamless MD, it's a great tool. It's a great platform that definitely is important and necessary in today's world. Seamless MD is about empowering patients throughout all care journeys, from surgery, chronic care, oncology, women's health, and behavioral health. Can you walk us through the platform's core functionalities? How does it benefit patients and hospitals?
Yeah, absolutely. So maybe I'll take a step back and share with you how
Sure.
we think about the challenges in the patient journey, and then I'll kind of connect that to how the platform addresses that. So the analogy I like to use is around travel. So imagine you're driving a car from point A to point B. In the past, we had paper maps. And then, decades ago, we decided, well, paper is not good enough. Let's switch to a GPS, a technology-based system. And we all know now GPS is faster, safer, better than paper maps ever was. And no one's going back to paper maps. The strange thing about healthcare is that when you think about a complex patient journey, whether that's a patient going through a surgery, a cancer journey, a pregnancy, or anything else, that is far more complex than driving a car from city to city. And yet we still rely on paper and verbal instructions to guide a patient through these journeys. The problem with that is patients will tell you, and I'm sure you and your family have lived this too. Patients forget what you tell them verbally. They lose their papers. There's no day-to-day engagement and support, and so they find it hard to follow those instructions. And the healthcare team feels as if they are sending a patient into a black hole between visits, or especially after leaving hospital. And if the patient falls off track and something goes wrong, the healthcare team doesn't know about it until you've ended back in the emergency room. And so we thought, okay, well, why can't we build basically a GPS to guide the patient digitally, keep them on track, and allow the care team to know what's going on with you? So that's what Seamless MD basically does. We provide a platform that a patient can access on their phone, their tablet, or their desktop computer, and they're guided step by step and monitored throughout the journey. So for example, let's say you're having, major heart surgery. A week before your surgery, you would get reminded, stop your, blood thinning medication on time. The day after surgery, you would get nudged saying, hey, it's time to get up and walk. It's time to start doing your exercises. Here's a video for how to do your rehab exercises. When you go home, we're going to prompt you to track your symptoms. Tell us your pain levels, tell us your temperature, take a photo of your incision after surgery. And then all that data we send back into dashboards that can be integrated into the electronic medical record. So your healthcare team can get alerted. They can look at the data, they can monitor you and catch problems earlier. And so ultimately, health systems use Seamless MD to not only improve the patient experience, but patients have a shorter length of stay in hospital. They recover faster. They stay out of hospital. They have less ER visits, less readmissions. And we save money for the healthcare system because we've driven down the use of healthcare services.
This is great. Working in the healthcare myself, I've seen, case coordinators doing this over the phone or doing this via visit with the patient. And most of the time, patients visit 2, 3 times a year to their physician. So within those times, what about the other 360 days of the year? This is a great platform that, pretty much covers the entire other months and days that are not covered when a face-to-face visit usually occurs. So I love this idea. It's great to hear more about it. How would you define remote patient monitoring 2.0?
Yeah, so why don't I start with what I think how I define 1.0, and then I'll get to 2.0. So to
Sounds
me,
good.
remote patient monitoring 1.0, which is basically traditional device-based RPM, was we need a way to manage our top 5% of patients at risk, especially after leaving hospital. So think of the patients with who are admitted for heart failure or COPD exacerbations or whatnot, and so RPM 1.0 was we'd send a kit to the patient's home. We'd give them a tablet, a blood pressure cuff, a weight scale, pulse oximeter. So basically, a tablet plus these devices. And then we'd require, let's say, the nursing staff or other care team members to basically be monitoring these patients all day long so that we could catch a problem earlier. And by the way, that's been quite effective, right? So if you want to manage just 5% of your patients and do it really well, it's a very, very effective way to do it. The challenge is over the last, 5, 10 years, health systems have said, hey, what if I wanted to bring that level of care to not just 5% of my patients, but 100% of my patients? I want to engage patients digitally for orthopedics or women's health or oncology or behavioral health or all kinds of things. And it's really hard to do that with this device-heavy RPM solution because, number one, it's too costly to send devices and tablets to, thousands of patients a year. It's also very resource intensive. There's not enough nursing staff to be monitoring, you know, thousands and thousands of patients every month. And so the idea of RPM 2.0, which is what I use the term digital care journeys, which is what CMSMD does, is say, hey, you know what? How do we do this scalably? Well, let's go device-less. Let's do device-less RPM where we just leverage the patient's own phone, tablet, or computer. We don't require a kit to be delivered to their home. And it's a pure software approach. And if you're in orthopedics, we'll engage you with the orthopedics, you know, care plan. If you're in oncology, we'll do that too. If you're a chronic care patient, we'll do that too. But the idea is that we now have a scalable way to reach 100% of patients. And then the other piece is we have a lot of algorithms built in so that we don't need nursing staff to monitor every little thing. So what we find is that 80% of the issues patients record on the system are not emergencies. Maybe it's, I'm constipated, I have low-level pain. Well, instead of having that issue go to a provider, we have these automation systems where the patient will get just-in-time automated education on, here's how to manage constipation at home. And so we've cut down on calls to clinicians by 50 to 65%. And then for the 20% of the time, there is an issue. Maybe they have a fever, they have 10 out of 10 pain. Okay, sure, escalate that to the care team, but only escalate the 10 or 20% of issues that the care team actually has to be involved with and automate the other 80, 90%. And so we've been able to help health systems go digital for, you know, nearly 100% of the healthcare journeys because we're able to do it more scalably and without a bunch of devices all the time.
This is great because, for instance, most of the, I guess, RPM 1.0 is that they have so much data that they're sending to the physicians and the clinicians. And then the clinicians and their staff has to shift through the data to figure out which is more relevant and which is not. So like you said, it's great to be device-less as well as having those automations in hand. This also brought to mind what we currently have right now is hospital as a smart hospital, basically having sending patients home instead of having them stay in the hospital for longer periods of time. They could definitely leverage your platform for this as well, because I don't, right now, I think they're still doing it via Zoom for call meetings and whatnot. So it is great device for hospitals as well, for hospitals at home. My next question is, what do you think were the core challenges of traditional RPM, which you already have mentioned earlier, why switching to the new RPM model is necessary today?
Yeah, I think it's necessary today for a couple of reasons. So one is, I think the expectations of patients as consumers has dramatically changed. So, you know, when you survey patients now, the majority are saying, hey, I actually want to be digitally guided or monitored throughout my healthcare journey. And what that means is that, you know, RPM or digital care can no longer be just for the 5% of patients at risk. It means that your 30-year-old, you know, mom wants to be guided and engaged and monitored throughout her pregnancy, or your 60-year-old patient having their knee replaced wants their physiotherapy through digital video, or your 80-year-old heart surgery patient doesn't want to travel, you know, 2 hours after surgery to just get their incision checked. They're like, why can't I take a photo at home and send it to you and you tell me if it's infected or not? And so the idea is that consumers now have that higher expectation of going digital in their care. The other piece is that with the staff shortages, the clinician burnout, yet at the same time, there's an increasing expectation that we have to improve quality, we have to have higher throughput in the hospital, we need to get patients out sooner. Value-based care has been slowly but still growing. You have less staff, yet higher expectations to do better quality and see more patients and keep them out of hospital, by the way. Well, how do you do that at scale? And so you can't do that by actively monitoring every data point about every patient. So you need a scalable way to actually engage patients for all conditions, all surgeries outside the hospital. And digital care journeys / RPM 2.0 is a scalable way to actually do that without having to hire more staff.
That's a good point, because I was reading an article that for doctors, physicians, at least in the US, about 40% of them by 2040 wants to either retire or switch into non-clinical roles. So having that either burnout or switching to clinical roles, you definitely are usually understaffed in most clinics. So this is definitely handy for especially rural communities or other clinics that does not have as much staffing for physicians or nurses. Now let's dive into deviceless solutions and impact at patient engagement. How can deviceless solutions leverage the existing technologies to monitor patients remotely without additional devices or sensors?
Yeah, so one of the interesting things is that when you look beyond, let's say, chronic care management, you look at all those other disciplines, surgery, oncology, behavioral health, maternity care, and all that, you start to realize that a lot of the data that you want to capture about patient journeys is not biometric data that you have to have a device for. I'll give you an example. So for surgery, it's so common that patients need to track their pain levels. They need to track if they're nauseous, if they're vomiting. They need to track photos of their incision, right? They need to track, are they having side effects to a medication? You look at oncology, it's a lot of adverse events, side effects. These are items that cannot be tracked by a device. There's no sensor for what's your pain level. Pain is very subjective, right? If you're constipated, there's no sensor for that. And so for the vast majority of data points actually needed for most healthcare journeys, you can only get by actually asking the patient directly. And so for deviceless remote monitoring, you simply use the patient's own device, and through a software application, you just ask them, what's your pain level today? Are you constipated? Are you nauseous? Are you vomiting? Take a photo of your incision. And so most data points actually, as it turns out, can only be self-reported by the patient through their own device. And then for the 5% of patients where maybe you do want to leverage pulse oximeter, a blood pressure cuff, a wireless weight scale, we can always connect those back into the core platform. But the idea is just realizing that beyond those, 5% of use cases, for the majority of healthcare journeys, you actually need to go deviceless if you want to support every other patient situation.
That's actually a great idea because, like you said, most of the symptoms are verbal or subjective. So having a devices category would definitely be helpful for patients, not in the long run, also for other hospitals as well. My next question is, how do devices solutions ensure accuracy and reliability in capturing patient data?
Yeah, so we've been studying this for a while. So as early as 2015, so that would be about maybe 9 years ago, we did a study, for example, with McGill University. And what they did was they compared what patients verbally told a healthcare team member about their symptoms, their health status, and compared that to what they were telling the CMSMD application. And at that time, they found that there was an 89% agreement between the two data sets, meaning that 89% of the time, whatever they were telling the healthcare team about their symptoms was exactly what they were telling our technology. And on top of that, when the researchers looked at the 11% of the time that it was different, they actually concluded that, you know what, if we had just phrased the way we asked about the symptoms more clearly, it should actually be much higher agreement. And so essentially, whatever patients would be telling their doctor or nurse anyways, they're basically telling our technology the same information. And so we have some pretty good data that as long as you believe what patients say, which, if you can't, what else can you do? But if you do believe what they say, they're telling the application the same thing they're telling their healthcare team. And what's interesting is that actually, if you look at studies from decades ago, because, like 30 years ago, people were doing studies on electronic data capture from patients and electronic symptom interviews. What they found was that actually, quite often, patients were more likely to either be truthful or disclose sensitive information to a technology platform compared to telling a clinician live, because sometimes for sensitive topics, they might be embarrassed to actually tell their healthcare team member directly face to face. But if you ask them to, privately record it in an application, they often are more willing to be honest or disclose more information. So what we found is that beyond technology being a reasonably accurate, scalable way to collect data, you might actually be able to collect more sensitive data than you otherwise would if you always had to collect data face to face.
That's a good point because some patients, so having collecting data through your device's platform, it could be real time. So when they're feeling it, when they're not going feeling so well, or even when they are feeling the symptoms, they can report it right away instead of waiting for that physician visit and telling that physician face to face, which they will ultimately forget when they have so much more other things to talk about regarding their health. Thank you so much, Josh, for sharing your invaluable insights regarding RPM 2.0 and devices solutions in this podcast. To close out, we give you the floor to do a shout out or talk about your current projects or anything under the sun that you are currently working on.
Yeah, well, thank you, Nicole. I appreciate that. We're continuing just to really just evangelize the importance of bringing digital care to patients everywhere. Now we actually have over 55 different digital care journeys that cover over 150 different conditions and procedures. And so we've realized you actually can go digital for so many different healthcare conditions. I think the one lesson I'll share is that we realize now that innovation requires people, process, and technology. And technology is not the it's not easy, but in some ways it's easier than people and process. And so we've found that the technology has to be good, but you need the right people, the right process and playbooks from companies like ours to actually go from technology to results. And so I think just a reminder for your listeners that sure, invest in the technology, but you have to invest in the people and process if you want to make all of this actually come together.
That's a very good point because there are going to be changes to workflows and clinical flows when you do include technologies into your practices. Your work and dedication is truly inspiring, and we look forward to witnessing the continued positive impact of digital health technology under your leadership. Thank you so much for coming out today and showing your expertise and your invaluable insights. Thank you so much, Josh. So this podcast is brought to you by OSP, a leading healthcare software and product development and solutions enhancement company. They have developed solutions for revenue cycle management, practice management, medical billing, coding, and advanced telehealth, remote patient monitoring, healthcare payment systems, healthcare and cloud solutions, and EHR development, and so much more. Thank you to our guest, Josh, for your time, and thank you to our audience. Have a great day.